Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Revelio. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shell College Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor, the Flannel Wizard, obviously yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the Fascination of Fourth Year, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Hello, and welcome back to episode 55 from our little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. This is our new segment, Harry Potter Hangout.
Theories from Tinworth.
Where we discuss additional thoughts and theories from the wizarding world. And today we'll be talking about the question, did Albus Dumbledore steal Voldemort's original body? There is a bonus topic as well. When and why does Harry Potter's scar hurt? Take it away, William.
So, okay, did Albus Dumbledore steal Voldemort's original body? This I had never heard of until just moments ago. All right, so I originally wanted to talk about what happened exactly after Voldemort killed Lily Potter. So this falls into that category, right? Now, if you'll recall the episode before this, we were talking about the Dementor. And Harry passes out on the Hogwarts Express because he is recalling someone screaming, like this will develop over the book, but like a flash of green light. And he's recalling that awful, fateful night when his mother sacrificed herself for him.
Yeah.
And the sacrificial charm and protection is woven into Harry. So we wanted to talk about like that exact moment, what went down, break it down step by step, but then also introduce an interesting theory and then even talk a little bit more about Harry's scar. So
sounds good.
First up, I'm going to take you through my play-by-play. Lottie has pulled up a couple different things here. This curious case of Voldemort's missing body. Now that was from MuggleNet, right?
Yes.
Right, so they wrote that, so we'll be referencing them. We'll put a link down for you guys if you want to read the full article. But for me, here is what happens, okay?
Yeah.
Prophecy is made. Voldemort says, let me get my big bad wand out, and I'm going to go take care of this guy, all right? Him and his family, I got it. Peter Pettigrew said, look, I know where they're at. Why? Why did Peter do that? What is I mean, was he...
He wasn't... I think he was questioned by him.
Now was I have he questioned? Another question. Yeah, I'm like... Really? Because that's kind of crazy. I wondered, I wasn't sure if it could be tortured out of you.
No, it couldn't. But he could have killed him. Instead of torturing him, he could have said, well, then you don't tell me and I just kill you. Does it protect him from being killed? So many questions.
It's one of those moments you read about and you're like, okay, yeah, Peter gave it up in some way. But do we have all the details on that? Because he would have, did he already go over to Voldemort? You know, he wanted to curry favor, but yet had he. Oh, that's still a little murky for me. But regardless, we'll let Lottie kind of look that up and I'll move on. He gets the secret. He does find the Potters and he goes in. James, I don't know. Some people say James didn't quite have his wand and that he wasn't able to duel him outright, which I think is interesting, that he had left it, door is boom, busted, and he comes running down the stairs and literally is without a wand, which I think is interesting because what if he had his wand, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of duel would have ensued? Could he have fended Voldemort off long enough for Lily to get away? Those are all the kind of things that are very interesting to think about. And I also think that Crookshanks jumped out of nowhere and was taking on Voldemort as well to try to get James Potter some time. But anyway, we go up the stairs and he goes into Harry's bedroom. Lily Potter is there. She steps in front of her son. He gives her the option, Voldemort, because of Snape, because of his respect for Snape, he tells her to step aside. She is a gifted witch. They've defied him 3 times, etc. He wants Snape in his employ. So he actually, for some odd reason, it's a thank you to Severus Snape, who found the prophecy, right? So he overheard the prophecy. Therefore, this is helping Voldemort take out the one last sort of threat to himself.
Right.
So he'll try to spare Lily Potter. She won't have it. She's like, no. And she will not stand aside. She's going to stand right there. So, okay, fine. I've given you the option. Boom. He goes to take her out. Now, am I right that, like, Avada Kedavra's her, no problem. She's dead. She falls dead. But what that created was, imagine it kind of floating around in the air, this charm that lands on her son.
Yeah.
And woven into him is this magical protection, sort of like a force field, just a hazy sort of, you know, magic that Voldemort's not attuned to and isn't anticipating.
Right.
So then he cast his Avada Kedavra curse. Now, the Avada Kedavra curse is meant to take the soul out of the physical body and beyond the veil. So from the land of the living to the land of the dead. And what happened is that he had 5 Horcruxes at the time created.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He was looking to create his 6th Horcrux, which would mean that his soul had been split 7 times. So he's already well protected by the time he goes in to face the Potters. When the Avada Kedavra curse goes to strike Harry, it actually backfires and it hits him.
Yeah.
Right? So it hits him. Some people, and we'll find out here in a second, believe that his physical body fell dead. That it was that his spirit was just separated from his physical body. And that when it was separated, it couldn't go beyond the veil, but it also couldn't re-enter his physical body. But what happened was is that the Avada Kedavra curse, boom, it hits him. It backfires on him, and it goes to pull his spirit out. And since it cannot, the curse is inside of it. It's trying to pull him out, but yet the other Horcruxes are pulling back.
Okay.
Like a magnet.
They keep him in our world. Yeah.
So it's a battle
over the living. Yeah.
Right. So the killing curse is trying to move it in one direction. The Horcruxes are pulling it back. And essentially what happens is that his body is destroyed.
Bursts.
It's
basically.
Blows up, burst. It's sort of what we see at the end of the films, actually. Mm-hmm. No one ever found a body. Hagrid talks about that. And that's sort of what kept the Wizarding World on edge, I guess, right? Is that they're like, well, there is no body. They can't see that he's actually dead. They never found a body. They don't because that's weird, right?
Yeah.
If you don't know about Horcruxes, then that's a strange thing to not find Voldemort's body. And that's actually my counter to the point that you're about to make here with the MuggleNet post. So go ahead and give us a couple of details on that, I guess. They kind of break down some of the things about his body and where did his original body go or what happened to it.
Right. So they go over a couple of different options, but basically in the end, they come to a conclusion. They mentioned something about the Death Eaters took Voldemort's body, so some Death Eaters might have accompanied him. We don't really know that, but they think it's unlikely. The Ministry of Magic dispatched wizards to collect and dispose of Voldemort's body.
Okay.
But that they think that's probably the least likely for the simple reason that if the Ministry had Voldemort's body, they would have wanted to share that with a larger wizarding community.
Right.
Almost like, here you go, he's dead. Then there is the one that his body simply vanished.
Uh-huh, which is what I kind of propose, right? Is that it's just disintegrated. Because to me, the Avada Kedavra curse is building up inside of him. It keeps trying to take him beyond the veil. The Horcruxes are pulling him back. So it's like boom, 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 boom. Stuck between a magnet, two magnets pulling, and it just, the energy builds up inside of him, and then ba-boom, right. Gone. Gonzo. So
they say for them it's unlikely because the second body, when he's killed the second time by Harry, mm-hmm. it doesn't vanish. But you have an explanation for that.
Yeah, the explanation for that is there are no Horcruxes pulling at that. The Avada Kedavra curse does exactly what it's meant to do.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. It takes the spirit beyond the physical body.
Yeah.
Right? So what's actually interesting in terms of the Horcruxes at all is that, like, I mean, if you die a natural death, or what happens, like how, what happens then? You know, if you die a natural death, I mean, and the Horcruxes are keeping your soul there. So yeah. it's actually really interesting when you start to analyze this and say, okay, what actually would happen? I mean, do mm-hmm, you need, mm-hmm. he didn't think this all the way through, because you almost need another wizard and in between someone to take that Horcrux, and it either jumps out and possesses you, or somebody has to put that back into the original body to reanimate it, or do the whole spell like what Peter Pettigrew does and create a new body for the Horcrux piece to enter into. Just bizarre.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
Okay, but let me read what they have to say about Albus Dumbledore. Okay. So, Albus Dumbledore collected and disposed of Voldemort's body himself. That's the theory. Mm. Dumbledore always believed that Voldemort was not really gone. He knew that Voldemort would rise again, and he certainly did not keep that knowledge to himself. Dumbledore would not have wanted the larger wizarding world to believe that Voldemort was dead. He would have wanted Voldemort's disappearance to be surrounded by mystery. He would want people to assume that since there was no body, then Voldemort wasn't truly dead. That way, there would always be some who believed, like he did, that Voldemort would return. So basically, they say he would destroy the body himself so people wouldn't see that dead body, and there's still that mystery, is he completely gone or not?
Okay,
I see. Believers would ultimately be more prepared when Voldemort came back to power. Unlike the ministry, Dumbledore didn't want people to feel safe. He wanted to actually help them be safe by keeping them wise to the dangers threatening their world. Dumbledore clearly would have had the motivation to hide Voldemort's body, but would he have had the opportunity? Throughout the books, we come to see that Dumbledore is so well informed of the events in the wizarding world, he's practically omniscient.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would bet my last galleon that Dumbledore was the first to know about the attack on the Potters, and that it was he who told Sirius Black, who, as far as we know, was the first person on the scene. Also, have you ever wondered why Dumbledore would have sent Hagrid to collect Harry from the Potter's house instead of doing it himself? Well, perhaps the answer to that question is that he was busy disposing of a body.
Wow. Okay. So let me just recap here. So the idea is that Dumbledore, he already suspects. I mean, and maybe he really did more than we realize. I mean, in the books, it seems like he didn't know what Voldemort was doing, right? Yeah. And at some point, he has a memory collected from Slughorn. When did he collect that memory? So he knew Voldemort was up to something. But it's altered, and so he doesn't really know. Horcruxes is like it's like fill in the blank, and Dumbledore was not filling it in with that word. He wasn't sure, and that's probably the worst thing that he could fill it in with. But I'm sure there's other things that he was thinking of that Voldemort was doing to preserve his life. I mean, we already see with the Sorcerer's Stone, Dumbledore is trying to make sure that is safe. Like he's looking around saying, okay, what are ways in which someone could come back or could extend their life or extend their evil and their power? I need to negate those or eliminate those in some way, so that way it can't be used by another dark wizard somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
So if he did have that in mind, and if he did know and he wanted the wizarding world to be more prepared, that would make a lot of sense, I guess. Because let me throw another one at you here, which is like, if the Avada Kedavra curse backfires, hits Voldemort's original body, and it takes his soul out, and then he just can't re-enter his own original body. Because why couldn't he just re-enter right away? Does he not have a mechanism to do that? And see, that's where I say Voldemort also had no idea what he was doing, really. He didn't have a very good plan. He was just a dabbling in magic that no one else really had, and pushing the limits of magic further than anyone else really had either, right?
Right.
Especially in the dark arts.
Yeah.
So he didn't really know what to do at this point. Yes, you have your Horcrux and you've stashed a bit of your soul away, but you need someone else to either do what Peter Pettigrew does and make a new body for you to inhabit.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, how do you, because we don't even really understand how he got that what they call it, a rudimentary body, right? So,
yeah.
But from between book two, between book one and book four, actually, the original mm-hmm. Voldemort spirit somehow comes up with a little baby, like we see, like Pettigrew, like holding it or whatever.
Right.
So it somehow got back into a body of some kind.
I mean,
it was possessing other living beings, but there's two souls or two spirits housing that. So it was a weaker form. That's never really been explained, I don't think, as to what that
baby thing was.
Yeah. Because otherwise, there's really no way for you on your own independently to get back into your body, if
yeah.
that makes sense. Because if Voldemort is just dueling Dumbledore, and Voldemort has all these Horcruxes, and Dumbledore, ba-boom, takes him out, Avada Kedavra's him, could you imagine? Oh my. Let me say that again. Could you imagine Dumbledore is dueling Voldemort, and out of nowhere, Dumbledore's just like, Avada Kedavra, boom,
yeah.
and just lays him low.
I know, right?
Like, it's kind of crazy that it didn't happen, actually, or like, that's just not how he fights, and I know that's an unforgivable curse, etc. But, I mean, at some point, does the ministry come in and say, hey, use any, it's like a James Bond 007 situation, like, Dumbledore, you can do anything you want, you just got to take this guy out. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So, because otherwise, it just, I mean, also, they've dueled and you can avoid the Avada Kedavra curse. You can move things in front of it and stuff like that. But anyway, just kind of interesting to think about. But if he does, if Dumbledore would hit Voldemort with Avada Kedavra curse, and it wasn't like any, like, because I think sometimes people think it's interesting because it's his own curse that backfires and hits him off of Harry.
Yeah.
He's going to hit Harry, it backfires and hits him. But had he been struck just in a normal duel by Lily, James, mm-hmm. anybody, you know, Dumbledore, McGonagall, what happens to him? You know what I mean?
Right.
If we're standing there and we're dueling him, does he just blow up, or does his body
Good
fall?
Question.
Does his body fall down there flat? Because you take out the extra special stuff
yeah.
with the sacrificial protection, that
right,
doesn't
right,
really
right.
matter. We don't really understand what happens there.
Right.
It seems like the body just explodes because the Horcruxes are trying to keep the soul inside
right.
the physical body, and the Avada Kedavra curse is carrying it beyond. So there
yeah.
you go. It rips and it's gone.
According to that theory, it sounds like that's exactly what would happen. I mean, there is not really a counter curse for Avada Kedavra, so, right?
Yeah, no, you can't block it. I mean,
so what we do?
Well, it's what Dumbledore does. I mean, I think
he does.
He does block it. He blocks it with a statue. I mean, you can block it with certain
things,
but
yeah.
you can't block it with your wand, right?
Maybe
when they turn their wand to the
with
side.
Yeah, Nagini or something.
Yeah. I mean, Fox swallows one.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And he's just reborn.
Yeah. He's a gotcha. Boom.
Wow.
So that's kind of crazy. I mean, and also, yeah, you can definitely alter someone's shot, or you can move out of the way, or you can apparate across the room or behind them, or there's a lot of things you can
yeah.
probably do. So that's why it's a duel and you've got to
right.
use everything you got. But to me, I just sort of feel like this is an interesting one that's not totally explained, or it's just a really bad
you know
plan.
What
yeah
mm-hmm. I have a thought about yeah you so your point is, what's your plan if someone does kill you? Great, you have your Horcruxes, and there is a way for your soul to survive and come back to life, basically, mm-hmm. with a physical body. But how do you do that? So when we meet the first Horcrux, let's put Harry aside here for a
yeah.
second,
yeah.
is the diary. The diary can somehow possess, you know,
yeah.
take over Ginny. So again, another living soul.
Yeah.
But would the other items be able to do that the same way the diary did? And then his mm-hmm. basically his soul ghost, whenever he made that Horcrux, I bet
yeah.
that part of the soul, that age he would be, like the diary.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Would he be his 16-year-old self or whatever?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. So yeah, a couple things there. Like that's an interesting one, is when the diary is, when you think about the Horcrux there, there's the original Voldemort soul is in Albania. So it has left Quirrell in book one, and then in book two, the diary comes to life, and that's a Horcrux.
Right.
Right? So I think that's a great, because Voldemort is sort of existing in two places because his soul is split.
You kind of would think that they would eventually,
merge.
Merge, yeah.
Right, and that is my point to what J.K. Rowling says. So the
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
To the bonus content here with the scar, to get back to that. The scar, I'd never really thought about it too much, but like, it is the exact entry point, according to J.K. Rowling. It's the exact entry point where Voldemort's soul detaches and enters Harry's body.
Right.
And it only hurts because it wants to come back out. It wants to come back out and reattach itself with Voldemort. Ba-boom. There we go. Something interesting for you. So, Harry's scar, it does not hurt when he's around other Horcruxes. Okay, so when he's in chamber,
is that a fact?
That's a fact. And J.K. Rowling, and I'm pretty sure, if I'm wrong or if there's other evidence out there that suggests otherwise, let me know. But when you're reading it, because like, we're in Prisoner of Azkaban, and I don't think it hurts once. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure he doesn't have any burning scar sensation.
Oh, we have to look up
because Voldemort's
that,
not really in this. But in the last book, I don't think either. In the last one, I don't think his scar hurt. Did it? I don't think it did. I think it hurts in the first book, and it's because Voldemort's original soul had possessed Quirrell. And so his original soul is there. So the whole point with that, and why you got to keep track of the original soul, is that according to J.K. Rowling, the bit, the Horcrux bits, they want to reconnect with that. Like, it wants to leave through his scar. It burned, the scar burns, and he touches the scar because just behind it is sort of this magical bit of soul that wants to pop back out, and it wants to go to the original soul. And it only happens when when Voldemort is extremely upset or in close proximity. So it's not all the time. It's not just that he's out there existing somewhere. It's when he has extreme strong emotions or when he is near, according to J.K. Rowling.
Okay, yeah. Well, Mike, I think the book where he feels that pain the most is Order of the Phoenix, and this is just after he came back at the end of Goblet of Fire, right? So he is, Voldemort returned at the end of Goblet, and then the whole Order of the Phoenix book, I think, is pretty painful for him. I mean, not just, mentally, but also I think that's where his scar hurts a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is from this is Pottercast, December 23rd, 2007. J.K. Rowling. Well, of course, the pain he feels whenever Voldemort's physically, when Voldemort is particularly active, mm-hmm. is this piece of soul seeking to rejoin the master soul.
Crazy.
Is what she calls it. When his scar is hurting him so much, that's not scar tissue hurting him. That's the piece of soul really wanting to get back out the way it entered. It really wants to, and then I think somebody cuts her off and says, it entered his body through a wound, wants to rejoin the master. So it's just a podcast dialogue back and forth. So when Voldemort's near him, he is particularly active. When he's particularly active, this connection is always there, but it's like more painful when he's strongly emotional or he's in close proximity.
I wonder if Nagini feels that pain.
Well,
I know she's created differently.
Right.
And Harry.
Because
she's the only other living Horcrux.
Right. And it would want to.
Would she have that pain? Would the soul want to rejoin with its original master? Or is it different because he voluntarily created it,
yeah.
And Harry was involuntarily and unknowingly. Yeah. He doesn't know until the very end
That probably makes all the difference because people talk a lot of times about Nagini and not being, that she didn't have, that she had more protections than Harry, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Although we don't really know, you know? I mean, I've suggested on a couple of the different shorts is like, could you take Nagini out with Avada Kedavra? Could you? The movie seems to imply that Ron tried and actually did cast Avada Kedavra in the movie.
Yeah.
Neville just... it does seem like a living Horcrux is weaker because Avada Kedavra would separate.
It's vulnerable, yeah.
Right. For that container to be destroyed beyond repair, which is what you have to do with the Horcrux to defeat it, Avada Kedavra would hit Nagini's original Maledictus spirit, and it would take it out of the snake's body, and that is the soul that is animating it. Yeah. Unless then Voldemort's soul takes over. I mean, I don't really know. That's kind of crazy. Right? That's kind of crazy. Would the other soul then take over?
Yeah.
Because that's a daggone, that's a good one. Because the sword, when you cut Nagini with the sword, one, you're tearing and ripping the physical body.
Right.
And the Horcrux at the same time, exactly. Yeah, but like when you destroy the locket and stuff, like you're right.
You destroy the container and the part of the soul at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which is nuts when you think about that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Does this, once you destroy the container, it's like, does that bit of soul just, where does it go?
I guess you say destroy the container, but the diary's still there. There's just a hole in it. So I think it's more like the barrier that it
beyond
creates.
Repair is what it.
Right, you can't really fix that hole. That's true.
Yeah.
But it's not destroyed. The diary itself is still there, right?
Yeah. Well, broken bits of the locket are still there.
Right. So that means...
And the diadem and so on.
That container is still kind of there. It's broken somehow. But it's more like about breaking the barrier that the Horcrux creates and getting to the barrier with the basilisk's fang or with the Sword of Gryffindor.
Right, both have taken in the venom. Yeah, because... But if you destroy the object or the living thing, if his soul is split in all these different pieces, do they all go back to see, like, is there any awareness? I mean, in the book, it seems like there is no awareness because at some point he just freaks out and he's like, oh my gosh, Nagini, stay close to me because all my Horcruxes are being, just he starts to realize that they're gone.
He feels it, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Does he feel it? Because the diary happens pretty early on. Did he feel that? How did he not know Dumbledore and Harry were after it? I don't think
so. Maybe because he wasn't fully, hasn't fully returned yet in his full form. Maybe that was, he was not connected to the rest of the souls yet.
Yeah. I've just heard, so imagine if there are like six cups here, right? Mm-hmm, and there's a little bit of water in there and that represents the soul.
Yeah.
You break the cup and the water falls out onto the table. But I've heard people say that it's sort of like that, the souls are linked, and when they're not protected or magically contained, that they will trickle back to the master soul.
Okay.
And therefore, what what was done to save it, because otherwise, if bits of his soul are just destroyed and gone beyond the veil, it could actually be that as well, because he's becoming less and less human. Yeah. He's becoming more and more evil and toxic. So
yeah,
I don't know. But anyway, I just wanted to share that bit about the scar hurting and how that is it trying to get back to its master soul, right. According to J.K. Rowling. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of neat.
Not cool for Harry.
No, I mean, it's good because they kind of go on. This user breaks down like all the times that Harry is around Horcruxes, and he's not, even though you can become emotionally connected to those things, like Ron starts to pour some of, like, it affected him more. Jenny was affected by the diary.
Right.
Not just because the diary, like, Lucius has the diary, right?
True.
But I mean, it's because Jenny created an emotional connection to it in some way. Right. It somehow latched onto her. So it's, but where was I going with that? I don't even know. But the whole point is that Harry does not feel, there it was. Harry doesn't feel pain around those Horcruxes. It's the master soul. It's Voldemort.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
All right. So to conclude this whole discussion, we do not really believe that Dumbledore destroyed Voldemort's body, right? Even though that's what MuggleNet, that's their conclusion. But to me, it makes more sense. I don't know. I don't really feel like Dumbledore would have kept that to himself. Because let's say he did go in and destroy it and somebody found out about it. Wouldn't that look really suspicious? If Dumbledore...
That's how Dumbledore gets rolls, though.
I mean, rid of Voldemort's body secretly.
Let me say this. It is very original, and I really like the thought behind that article.
Okay.
It really is. Because why didn't Dumbledore go
and get Harry?
Yeah, why was Hagrid sent instead? Where did Dumbledore have to be? That's the whole question. Is everyone's like, wait, why? And Professor McGonagall's like, why did you trust Hagrid?
True.
What was it that Dumbledore...
He was busy writing the letter for Petunia. That was hard.
I don't know about that. I mean, who knows? But I like the idea that he goes there. I mean, the only problem is if he meets Sirius, though. It's sort of like, doesn't Sirius say, like, hey, it wasn't me? And then doesn't he know that Sirius is innocent? See, it could be that, like, Dumbledore and Hagrid go together. Wouldn't that be crazy if Hagrid knew? If Hagrid knew? I mean, that would be nuts, because Hagrid tells everything, right? He can't keep a secret at all. But this is, I would trust Hagrid with my life. So maybe he knows that means, if Hagrid tells what I did, I'll be in Azkaban for sure. My life is done. If Hagrid spills the beans that I took Voldemort's body and I destroyed it, I mean, that could be... What if that were the case? What if he does the reductor or the reducto curse that Jenny Weasley uses, that they use in the Department of Mysteries? That just takes any physical item and it just reduces it to ash, or it reduces it to... You know, if it's there and he did that, that could be. That could be. It could just be... Like, I know we talked about this building up or whatever and the body just exploding and destroying, but that'd be a dead giveaway that you were hiding Horcruxes. You know what I mean? If you're a dark wizard and you had Horcruxes and somebody sees you die and your body explodes, they're gonna be like, that guy's got a Horcrux somewhere. You know, that's dead giveaway.
But wasn't he really, like, actually busy trying to figure out how to, you said he did come up with some kind of extra protection, right?
Yeah.
To figure that out. Maybe he was actually busy with that.
Right.
Because, I mean, when was Harry taken to the Dursleys? Was it the same night or the next morning? Like, how long was it between Harry's, Voldemort's destruction and Harry being put on the doorstep of the Dursleys? How much time has passed?
No, that's a good point. Because there's a lot of threats. He could have been even dueling he could have been bringing to justice other Death Eaters or something like that. We don't really know where he was at. Because Lily's protection does work, and it works on Harry, but what Dumbledore does is he extends it, because I've seen people debate this a little bit. It's sort of like, did Dumbledore, you know, like, because he sort of does some special ancient magic to create an extra connection, to solidify, to solidify this protection into Harry and his blood, the bond of blood charm. They call them two different things on the wiki, just to kind of help distinguish this. Is like, what Lily Potter did was sacrificial magic.
Yeah.
And there's a sacrificial charm that is placed on her son from her.
Right.
That protected him mm-hmm. in that moment. What Dumbledore, and I could be wrong about this, does is extend that magic that she did over to Petunia.
Yeah.
And to make sure that it is... Does right. Because that yeah. that's the extra magic that he did.
Maybe busy doing that.
Yeah, could be.
At the same, I mean, but the Potter's Cottage right now, after both Lily and James died, is... anyone can find it now, right? The Fidelius charm doesn't work anymore. So
yeah.
technically anyone could go there and look at the scene and...
Right, which yeah. is one of the shorts I just did is like mm-hmm. what happened to Voldemort's wand?
Yeah.
Why did it lay there for 12 years? Why did Peter Pettigrew, why was he able to go back 12 years later and get it? Or some people have suggested in the comments there that what happened is Peter went after he knew, maybe he mm-hmm. was one of those Death Eaters who was outside nearby who sees it all go down. And goes
that
in,
is another theory they have.
Right?
What if
yeah.
Peter is there and then he gets Voldemort pieces of his body, whatever happened to his body, mm-hmm. he gets the rest of it and the wand. But then at the same time, where does he hide it? Because how much time does pass until Sirius seeks him out and he becomes a rat and doesn't turn back for 12 years?
Right.
Does he have time to do all that before then?
Right.
So there's many theories, but I think... main conclusion is probably Voldemort's body was destroyed.
Yeah,
even
just
though
destroyed.
It's consider Dumbledore could have done his thing and tried to destroy it in secret,
yeah.
or Peter Pettigrew was nearby and he did something to it.
Yeah, yeah,
that would help explain the wand phenomenon.
Yeah, exactly. So either or, it's mm-hmm. it's Pettigrew's there and hides and stashes bits or pieces or the whole body. And
yeah.
uses some of that body to make the rudimentary body that we have later on. So
yeah,
it's wild. I hope you guys have thoughts on that. As you know, send us a little owl or something at fleurandbill@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts because I've been fascinated with that exact step by step. Like what happened the moment after the curse rebounds to Voldemort, to his body, to his spirit, and then who shows up first? Who's first on the scene? And then... what, you know, we can say it's Sirius or it's Hagrid or whatever, but like, was Dumbledore there first? Was Pettigrew there first? Those are all the kind of questions that I kind of wonder about. And then this is a very bold thing with Dumbledore stealing
yeah.
the body, because I was like, wait, you would want everyone to know that he is dead and gone, unless you're Dumbledore, who seems to know everything
right.
and is sort of like, hold on a second, he's coming back. I know he's coming back. I don't know how. I haven't figured that out yet, but I want the wizarding community to be on guard. So, yeah, what do you got?
One last thing. We talked about what was Peter's motivation. Did Peter go to Voldemort or did Voldemort seek him out? So, in the wiki, it suggests, and this is based on the actual Chapter 19 Prisoner, that Peter was just so convinced that there's no way, in the First Wizarding War, that they wouldn't be able to fight Voldemort. And he thought Voldemort will take over anyway.
Oh,
and
wow.
he better join him first so he's...
on the winning side.
Right, and he won't be killed by him. The quote here is, "Don't lie," bellowed Black. "You'd been passing information to him for a year before Lily and James died. You were the spy." And Peter answers, he was taking over everywhere," gasped Pettigrew. What was there to be gained by refusing him?
Wow.
So he wow. did willingly go and... switch sides because he was afraid of losing the war and being killed.
Yeah, and so they didn't know at the time that they
yeah.
changed,
yeah. He changed
the secret
allegiance.
Keeper or whatever, yeah.
yeah. Oh, yeah, and he, yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's so wild.
Right, because it's like Sirius has thought about that. No,
yeah.
for like he, like now that we know he gave up the Potters, he also was somebody else who was spying on us and
yeah.
and helping the Dark Lord. Yeah, that's why. Because Severus is not in their midst. He doesn't know the ins and outs of what they're doing. So
right.
Pettigrew is sort of the opposite of what Severus will become for Dumbledore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's nuts. That
and we
crazy.
See that twice. I mean, we see that with Pettigrew. And we see that later. I mean, the weakest of them all, and they kind of know and have probably let Peter know, you know, you mm-hmm. need us.
Yeah.
He then switches allegiances, right?
Right.
And the same thing happens. Well, Mundungus doesn't really switch allegiance, but he doesn't care. Like
he doesn't want to be tied.
He's a weakling. He's like
right.
just getting out of it.
Yeah, it's almost like you don't want to declare for a side that you think is losing. So you're either gonna one go to the side that you think is gonna win,
right.
or you're gonna step away and say, "No, I'm completely
yeah.
out."
Yeah.
You guys duke it out, and whoever's left around, cool.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Crazy.
That's kind of who those characters are. But, wow.
Wow, that was a longer discussion than I thought. There's just so much to, like, so much mystery surrounding that night and that how all that went down. And there should be, like, that's probably intentional.
Yeah, there should be. And if you wanted to in the new TV series, I actually hope that J.K. Rowling will say, here's a couple tidbits that we haven't dished out before. People are going to like this. And it's a reason for people to tune in more so. So, okay. Hey, friends, thank you guys so much. That is all for this week. You've been listening to Harry Potter Hangout Theories from Tinworth. We appreciate you tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope you'll join us in the future. If you've got any ideas, thoughts, theories, whatever, send us that out. We will read it on the show. We love reading your guys' thoughts. So send that to at Fleur and Bill on Instagram, or send us an out at fleurandbill@gmail.com.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out here at Shell Cottage. Hope you all have a wonderful week. Take care, and we'll see you next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.